Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I want to thank each of you for being here, all of you who are subscribed, all of you who are here tuning in. Of course, we had some pretty big news yesterday. I'm going to discuss why we should even be concerned about it, because at the end of the day, does it really affect finding Nancy? And I would argue it does. Let's talk about the breaking news. I'm going to show you the video that has everyone talking this morning.
Because I knew from my sources, they were trying to keep you guys out.
They did.
They did keep you out.
And look, here's
how time matters in an investigation.
The first 48 hours of anyone's disappearance are the most critical. And here's how these cases works. It is a state matter. It's a state and local law enforcement matter. What we, the FBI, do is say, hey, we're here to help. What do you need? What can we do? And for 4 days, we were kept out of the investigation. And when we were finally let in, Sean, look what we did. We went in and got the Ring doorbell. And we said, hey, is anyone talking to Google? I called the leadership at Google and I said, look, we know that there was not a subscription service to capture all of the data that would have been captured had there been a subscription service. But can we go into the cache? Can we go into the data before it's deleted and see what we can find? That's why you have that image, because the FBI worked with Google to put that image out. Another thing we asked to do.
You guys got that tape, which was the biggest breakthrough during that case.
We could have gotten it days before. We could have also maybe gotten more data had we
Why wouldn't they want your help? Why did they send the DNA to a lab in Florida, not Quantico?
That's the other thing that you hit on, right? Again, we were saying, we'll process it. I launched hundreds of agents and intel staff to Phoenix and Tucson just for this case, just to be on standby.
And they didn't want
just
you
to
there.
Do the canvassing. And we said, we'll take the DNA. And again, it's a state and local matter. So it's their call on where to send the DNA. We have Quantico, best lab in the world. I had a fixed wing aircraft on the ground ready to move it immediately through the night.
Did they just say no?
And they said, we're sending it to Florida. And then, I don't know.
They have 60 jurisdiction.
Days, they have jurisdiction, so it's their call. So
bad call.
Well, that's for the American public to decide. And what we can do is continue to offer support. We would have analyzed it within days and maybe gotten better information or more information. Our lab's just better than any other private lab out there. And we didn't get a chance to do that. So I understand everybody's frustrations on that.
I'm not frustrated with you. I'm frustrated that they, if I was a sheriff and the FBI was willing to help me and time is of the essence, I'd want all the help I can get. Okay, let me ask you about this.
All right. Whew. Everyone, there you have it. I mean, look, Kash Patel came in hot with his information, and it wasn't a take. It wasn't informational, it wasn't his thoughts on the case. He came in hot with facts. So let's quickly brush over them or go over them. First of all, he specifically states the day at which he was invited into the case. And I've had a lot of people ask me a lot of questions about this. You know, wait a minute, we saw them on stage a little bit earlier. Wasn't the Phoenix or the Tucson ASAC there? It looks like they were involved. And then we're going to talk also about what Sheriff Nano said. The bottom line is there's a big difference between extending by the FBI, hey, we want to help, we're here for you, you let us know. You have to get the invitation. Now, this isn't like a Hallmark card invitation, but it's a call that would have been made by either Sheriff Nanos or his under sheriff, somebody in authority that would have said, listen, we officially want you all on this case. And then that starts the wheels turning for the FBI. What does that mean? So once that invitation is formally, not informally, but formally extended, then an FBI case agent, so it's going to go to the squad that would handle this, which would be a violent crime squad. That violent crime supervisor then, because of a high profile nature of this case, is going to assign a case agent from their squad. That case agent, again, that decision is going to be made likely in a case like this in conjunction with the ASACs and the SACs. Normally, squad supervisors and SSRA, senior supervisory resident agents, they can pretty much assign anything to anyone. It's their call. Not on something like this. There's going to be a heavy decision made as to who's going to get assigned this case. Once that case agent is assigned, he is going to have to prepare what we call an EC, an electronic communication. And that communication is going to be what we call an opening communication. And that sets forth the title of the case, where we spell out who's involved, who the victims are. In this case, it's going to literally say unsub, UNSUB, which means an unknown subject. Underneath there is going to be, are going to be all the victim details, Nancy Guthrie, and further details. That's part of what we call the title of the case. So anybody looking at it can quickly understand the title, and it can be entered into the computer and indexed, meaning basically all the information, so you can easily type it in, like hashtagged, so it can be easily come up when you're first looking for it. It's called an opening EC. Secondarily after that, and not secondarily, most importantly after that, is going to be the predication. What is predication? That is, why are you trying to get this case open in the first place? What is the proof that either there's an FBI law, a federal law that's being violated? If so, you're going to state that. In this case, they could have stated kidnapping, but because under sub B of the kidnapping statute, it is assumed that it went across state lines. But I believe they open this as a police cooperation case. That's a much cleaner way to open a case. And so it's literally, the titling is a police cooperation case. In these cases, as Kash Patel just said, it's not been taken over by the FBI. Again, there's a big difference between taken over, and I remember saying this on the Idaho case, there's a big difference between taken over in terms of a case and what's really happening, who's really doing the work, who's really calling the shots. The Pima County Sheriff has no control over what the FBI analysts are doing or what the day-to-day agents are doing, those decisions that are being made. I can promise you that. Do they coordinate in terms of, are they handing over information? Are they being forthright about the information known? And is that being disseminated probably via the Pima County sheriff's officers that are assigned to the 25 people that remain working this case? That was the number that came out per ABC News, 25 folks. 25 folks are on this case. You know, I would imagine, we know the sheriff's deputies are on it. And then so some number of them, and then some number of the FBI. And not just the FBI, but other people that would be on the violent crime task force. So within a squad, you have a squad of individuals, a violent crime squad. Within that squad, you have sometimes, not always, individual task forces. Task forces are kind of complicated because they have to be set up, and there's funding allowances. There's what we call letters of agreement, if you will, memorandums that exist between each of the different agencies that are on this, that would be on a task force. So it's a little complicated. This task force was not created for this case. This task force existed, and then the task force is now working this case. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to explain sort of how the inner workings of all of this would work. Arizona gal, good morning from Tucson. I wrote the Board of Supervisors urging them to remove Nanos. He must go. Love your channel, Jen. Thank you so much, Arizona gal. They're the ones with the teeth. We've talked about it a lot here. They are the ones with the power. Let's see. Who is Bubba? Thank you, by the way, and I love your dog, assuming that's your dog. How do you trust the FBI anymore after Kash Patel? Well, that's a big, broad question. that, you know, I very much trust the boots on the ground and what's happening with all the street agents. Still in touch with so many of them. Don't want to go into more detail than that, but let me just say the agents that are working this case and all the cases where the FBI have a footprint, it's I trust them. That the actual agents working these cases have nothing but good intentions and are doing the right thing. All right. Adrian, hello from Scotland, Jen and everyone. Thank you for being here, Adrian. I appreciate you from Scotland. I always see your posts on X. You are like in my feed big time right now, and I always enjoy your posts. I want to continue back on track, and thanks for saying hi, back on track with what Kash Patel said. For those coming in late, actually, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to play it one more time because I know some people kind of came in late and I just want to give them an opportunity to see it in case they haven't yet.
In the Nancy Guthrie case, I got frustrated because I knew from my sources they were trying to keep you guys out.
They did.
They did keep you out.
And look, here's
how time matters in an investigation.
The first 48 hours of anyone's disappearance are the most critical. And here's how these cases works. It is a state matter. It's a state and local law enforcement matter. What we, the FBI, do is say, hey, we're here to help. What do you need? What can we do? And for 4 days, we were.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there. So I'm going to continue with what I said. I think this will be better to sort of parse out what he has to say, and then I'm going to comment. And again, he is stating facts from his knowledge, and I'm going to state facts from my knowledge of FBI experience for 25 years and task force settings specifically. So he is being so truthful on here when he says, and it's something I've said over and over, that at the end of the day, these cases belong, and this case belongs to Sheriff Nanos, meaning the adjudication of this case, unless state lines or unless they took her to Mexico or unless they came in from across state lines or from across Mexico, this is going to stay squarely in Pima County's jurisdiction. And by the way, even if all that happens, it's going to stay squarely in their jurisdiction. I'll give you an example of a case that actually is being tried dually, and that's Luigi Mangione, right? New York doesn't want to, you know, give that case up. And the FBI said, listen, he traveled across multiple state lines to do the crime. And then after he left, he traveled to Pennsylvania to avoid detection. This is absolutely an FBI case. So they are being tried simultaneous. By the way, I think that's a waste. I think it's too bad that the New York jurisdiction and the FBI can't come together and look at who has the best case in terms of the years that they are going to serve for that case if he's convicted. But nevertheless, I don't want to digress. What my point is that in this case right now, it is Sheriff Nanos's case. The same thing happened in Idaho. And believe me, they also could have charged that federally because Brian Koberger came from Washington, D.C., even though it was only about a 10-minute drive, he drove over from Pullman to Moscow, Idaho to commit these horrible crimes. So that could have been charged federally. Why wasn't it? Because again, judicial efficiency, you could tell that there was a good relationship between the FBI and the chief of Moscow from the beginning. The chief of Moscow, listen, he brought everybody in day one. Come help state police do the crime scene. We need the FBI handling the investigation. He was really did the right thing, I thought, Chief Fry. In this case, now we're hearing from Sheriff Patel. FBI Director Kash Patel that, hey, listen, no. What happened was we weren't invited and we weren't a part of the case, meaning I just went through what it means to be truly involved in the case. It's not just, hey, want to come on board? It's not even the sheriff saying, hey, thanks for being here. We appreciate you here. Thanks. No, that is not mean. The FBI can utilize all their resources, their labs, their personnel, their vehicles, all their instruments and personnel that they have on a case without an open case. You just can't do it. So it was clear to me that it was on day four. Now we know that is when the full breadth of the FBI became available to this investigation.
It's kept out of the investigation. And when we were finally...
And he said, kept out. He uses strong verbiage. It was funny because somebody said, Jen, he didn't come in hot or something like that. He didn't really say anything bold. Listen, we are in different times. In my 28 years in federal law enforcement, I promise you, you did not see, I really can't think of one occasion. Gosh, I hate to say it never happened, but I really can't think of a situation where outside of closed doors, now behind the curtain, oh my gosh, the things I saw, the clashes that could occur between local, state, federal, who's going to take the case, who's in charge, you know, who flubbed up, all of that. Oh, you bet. I mean, yes. And then you mend the fences, you figure out a way to move forward, and you never let the public see that. So maybe the public likes this full-on transparency. For me, it is so hard to watch, right? It's just not how I came up in the FBI, but the face of the FBI and the face of law enforcement has totally changed. Where now, publicly, everything, a lot is coming out. When would you ever see somebody like Louis Freeh or Sessions or Mueller on a talk show, basically on a podcast? We are in different times. Cash Patel has a very open, remember, he's not a law enforcement guy. Never was in law enforcement. He came up in the legal realm. So it's going to be totally different. Look at all of our recent FBI directors, for the most part. I mean, there's been some that have been fired, blah, blah, blah. But I'm talking about, for the most part, an FBI director was a figurehead. Sessions had been a judge. The only one during my era, and I believe I had eight, and I'm counting interims, eight total directors. And interims still have power, by the way. They're still in charge when they're the interim. It was Louis Freeh. Louis Freeh was the only one that was an FBI agent that became a director of the FBI. In the past, when for the 90% of my career, up until Comey changed the whole dynamic. Up until Comey, directors were figureheads. They worked with the president. They worked on budgets. They went to banquets. They were a figurehead. They stood sort of before the bureau, but they never had their hands in cases. They didn't wear raid jackets. They weren't out in front talking about cases. They weren't disclosing intimate details of cases. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just trying to tell you the juxtaposition between the old FBI and the new FBI. And it started with Comey. I mean, Comey was definitely in the weeds. I served on his protective detail. When we would go to a field office, he would be reviewing anything and everything in terms of emails and notes and so on received from people at that office. He very much wanted to incorporate what individual agents thought, and he addressed them, and he was in the weeds on cases. I mean, come on. We saw him on the tarmac. We saw him. It's just, that was the shift, and the shift never ended. And with Cash Patel, I would say it's even stronger. You know, he is in the midst of the case. Before, if a figurehead talked, they would just say something like, yes, the FBI is involved and we're happy to be assisting the locals in this matter. Not this. So it's a transparent FBI, certainly compared to what it has ever been. And you all are getting to see what would have been said behind closed doors is now being said in front of the curtain. And you're getting to see it. And so Cash isn't mincing words. In my opinion, this is super strong. When you say something like a local department kept us out, let's continue.
Let in, Sean, look what we did. We went in and got the Ring doorbell. And
okay, this was one of the biggest things he said. We all knew on day 10, we got to see the Ring doorbell. And Cash Patel put it on his X. That's where we all got it from. At least that's where I got it from. That's the first place it entered the you know, media and the public sphere. And I took all my images directly from that. You know, I don't have the capability more than that. I don't have the inclination ever to enhance original videos and photos that I get. I don't like to do that, so I don't do it. And I don't hire anyone to do it. And of the people that are on the team that have a lot of capability with that, I don't like to do any of that. And a lot of people send me really interesting stuff with infrared. They send me all these, you know, different variations of Porch Guy. And I just quite frankly don't trust AI. I don't know the AI's thought process on what they look like without a mask and all that. I don't trust that. I'm waiting for the FBI to send that out. And I have to tell you, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed we don't see the versions of Porch Guy that are enhanced, because I promise you they are out there. They, when I say they're out there, the FBI has them. They're using those, but it's the public that needs them. There's a lot of things I don't understand with that, but not to digress, to get back to the point, the fact that the FBI got involved, without them, I promise you, we would have not had images. If you heard what, and I might have it on here, I took several videos from Nanos this morning I'm going to show you. Nanos said, he didn't mince any words. He said, we do not have video. We can't get it. It's gone. She didn't have a subscription. No way. That's a dead end. Nanos said that, everyone. I'm hoping I pulled that clip up, but that's what he said. Sorry, we don't have that. The FBI came in, and this is so typical FBI. The FBI doesn't believe in not possible, can't do it, don't have it. That is not in an FBI agent or in Cash Patel's vocabulary, I can tell you. I don't care whether you like him or you don't. That's a fact about him. He's going to try to get down to it and figure it out. And that's what a good agent does. And despite him not having any law enforcement background, he does support his agents fully to come on and think outside of the box. That's why I'm really surprised Cash Patel hasn't pushed to tickle the wire to do the Bitcoin. I really am surprised, because he's the sort, like I said, I am apolitical. Crime should be apolitical. Why people make it political is beyond me. Cash Patel was the one with his, I'm sure, listening to his case agents that said, let's see what we can get from Google. We've got to contact Google. That whole cyber digital team, I guarantee, said, listen, we've seen it before. And that's the thing, time behind the tiller. The more investigations you have, the more you've worked in this scope, the more you understand that evidence is there. Evidence can be there. You have to go for it. And he did. On day 10, he released those images. And oh my gosh, where would this case be without those images? All right, I agree with y'all. Where is it with them? You know, it seems to be in the same state, but there's hope. Porch Guy is hope for the case that somebody will come forward. Without those images, people might, I tell you what people are going to say without those images. Nancy disappeared on her own. She's in cahoots with her family. They're just trying to help Savannah have a better name and get better ratings. This is all a farce. I mean, they're saying that anyway. They've got porch guy on there, and that's still the narrative out there. People can call me obtuse or say, you know, whatever they want to say. I'm following facts. And that's what we do here. We follow facts and we take facts and we make, well, not always. Sometimes we just put the facts out there, but the facts exist that porch guy was there, that porch guy yanked off the ring or Nest camera, that porch guy left with Nancy because of the blood pattern, and he's not there. Those are conclusions that we can make. They're not guesses. They're conclusions we can make based on the fact pattern and the evidence before us. So this isn't rocket science. This is following the fact pattern. And in this particular case, without the FBI getting involved and putting the information, getting with Google and working on this, they started on day four. That's just the case opening, by the way. Now there's a lot to do for that case agent. Cash Patel says he gave him hundreds of agents. I've never heard the S after that. I knew 100, and now I'm hearing an S after that. That tells you a lot. Hundreds of agents, that's what he says. And he's not even talking about the analytical support that's in the background and the support staff that's in the background. They do so much. I loved my support staff. They make cases and they make agents able to succeed. So nevertheless, he says hundreds of agents, that's his words, not mine. And he puts that, and then Sheriff Nano says no. So on day four, you finally get the okay. I told you, you have to do the administrative paperwork. That doesn't get done until that's done, signed off on by everybody. Then it gets input, and then you can start actually doing stuff. Because you're backed. So on day four, you're starting to get back. Now, what are you doing? You're making assignments of these hundreds of agents, of the analysts. You're getting people out on canvases. You're getting people to collect video. You are getting people to talk with searchers. You're getting people to talk with the witnesses from the Guthrie family and from her Bible study family. You're digging deep into her socials. You're looking at all the digital. You're literally, as a case agent for 25 years, I can tell you, the minute you get something like this open, you're like, all right, mission mode, and I've got all these resources, let's go. But that didn't happen till day four. We know that now. So sitting on stage and ASAC, who out of Tucson, saying yes or being seen there is way different from being able to go. All right, let's continue.
He said, hey. Is anyone talking to Google? I called the leadership at Google and I said, look, we know that there was not a subscription service to capture all of the data that would have been captured had there been a subscription service. But can we go into the cache? Can we go into the data before it's deleted and see what we can find? That's why you have that image, because the FBI worked with Google to put that image out. Another thing we asked to do.
You guys got that tape, which was the biggest breakthrough during that case.
We could have gotten it days before. We could have also maybe gotten.
This what's disappointing is when Cash Patel says this, and I 100% agree with him. If you are involved, like in the Idaho case from day one, if you're involved from day one, you start that process. These agents know I'm going straight to Google. They go straight to Google that day. I guarantee you on day four or five, they were going to Google and starting to try to work on this process of digging deep like an onion that has layers and layers and layers of information that Google has, whether you have a subscription or not, but it gets overwritten upon. And that's what he's talking about, that they could have likely got so much more. And just so everybody knows, that's why we have no timestamps. There's a big difference between video imaging and timestamp imaging and dates and all of that. That's a separate deal. So they don't have that. They're not lying. They're not trying to keep that a big secret, but unless they have gotten it since. But right now what we have are the videos. And what he's saying there is, geez, if we could have started on day one instead of day four, we might have had it way earlier to get out to the public.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
More data had we
Why wouldn't they want your help? Why did they send the DNA to a lab in Florida?
All right, let's talk about the lab. I feel like we've touched on all this before, but now you're hearing it from the FBI director and we're getting a little bit more specificity. So the lab is perplexing. And I have to tell you, early on, and we talked about this, the lab, initially the reason that Nano said, and like I said, I pulled up a bunch of clips from him. I'm not sure I grabbed the lab memo, but we'll see. Or the lab reference. I think I might have it in here. Nano specifically says that you don't want to start all over. And I totally understand that. I've talked about that with y'all here. There was nothing worse than having everything at the lab for analysis, for DNA, for fingerprint, for hair, for all this analysis. And then you find out the person has been transferred. You're like, no, you can't do that, because that means a new analyst is in there and they have to look at everything again. And it sets the case, it sets the investigation back. That's just a fact. So it made sense to me that if Nanos for 4 days, his lab had it, you know, that he didn't want to give it up. But he's very specific now. Kash Patel tells us, no, listen, on day one, knowing that this case was going, and even though we hadn't been invited because it was his decision not to invite us to the case, not to have us open a case and unleash all of our resources, even though that happened, we were ready. We stood by in case he gave the thumbs up, in case he gave the okay. And I don't want to be, I'm going to use the word obtuse again, that sure, as long as your ASAC and your SAC says, get the paperwork into me tomorrow, I've done that a million times, but you need to jump on this, this, and this, you're good. You can have verbal authorization. I'm just telling you about the imaginations that need to be done, and they're done post haste. You would have an agent working on it or whatever, because you need to be covered. But nevertheless, why this is important, Patel says he had the plane, he's ready to go on day one. They had the authority. And it doesn't get any more authority than Kash Patel. He's the director of the FBI. Like I said, in my day and age, you would never have the, except for, I'm telling you, under Comey, that was a little bit different, but he was still much more figureheady than he was boots on the ground, hands in the honeypot. That, you know, Comey was a little bit that way, not like Kash Patel. So I'm just calling a spade. You all can make your own decisions on whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for the FBI. But nevertheless, yeah, the DNA, the excuse was that the lab in Florida, who we know is, that lab is a very good lab, everyone. It's not like it's a bad lab, but this is the difference. The FBI had expertise that lab did not have. And so I think it went on day 80-something finally to our lab. And the FBI actually put out a little statement, and you could tell they were ticked off, because they said, we have been asking for this since day one, and they didn't send it. We're just getting it. It's not new evidence. They made that crystal clear. I put a whole tweet and I quoted the FBI on this. It's not new evidence and it's not new expertise. We've had the expertise. They had the evidence. We're finally getting it. And this is reiterated here with Kash Patel. So now we see another, and I'm going to draw this all back together as to why you cannot have two different entities that are supposed to be working in conjunction on a case, why it leads to disaster in an investigation. Okay, let's move on.
Quantico.
That's the other thing that you hit on, right? Again, we were saying, we'll process it. I launched hundreds of agents and intel staff to Phoenix and Tucson just for this case, just to be on standby.
And they didn't want
just to
there.
Do the canvassing. And we said, we'll take the DNA. And again, it's a state and local matter. So it's their call on where to send the DNA. We have Quantico, best lab in the world. I had a fixed wing aircraft on the ground ready to move it immediately through the night.
Did they just say no?
And they said, we're sending it to Florida. And then, I don't know.
I'm going to put this up. Let's kiss and make up. It's heartbreaking, everyone. We saw this in the Delphi case to the nth degree. This is just a drop in the bucket compared to what happened on Delphi. Not to digress. But when you have these local sheriffs whose ego is the size of Manhattan, it is a problem. And that is exactly what we are seeing in this case now play out. Now we're getting the curtain opened. It's gone.
They have 60 jurisdiction.
Days, they have jurisdiction, so it's their call. So
bad call.
Well, that's for the American public to decide. And what we can do is continue to offer support. We would have analyzed it within days and maybe gotten better information or more information.
So he says analyzed it within days. You know, I'm not sure about that. We're almost on day 100 and they've had it since about day 80. They've had it for, I want to say 2 weeks now. I'd have to go back and look at my precise dates. I'm not sure he's definitely right there, but I think what he might mean is they would have started down the road. I think that's, I'm interpreting what he means isn't that they would have solved the case and whose DNA it is. I think what he's saying is, listen, we would have analyzed it and we would have had it, we'd be almost 100 days into it instead of being 14 days into it. It's an excellent
point. That's just better than any other private lab out there.
Okay, he makes that assertion. Listen, if you are a lab analyst, and I speak a lot to young people, both in speaking engagements and interns and things like that, I can tell you a huge amount of them want to work for the FBI. They think that for them, that's the pinnacle of what they could do, as opposed to working in a private lab. And that is why the FBI lab does have some of the absolute best of the best, because the best of the best want to go there. Is the money as high? Likely not. But look at FBI agents getting paid nothing. I got to tell you, when I started as an agent, and I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you, because I'm a pack rat with this, I have my pay stubs. I think I was paid $480 every 2 weeks, something like that. you don't get into the FBI. You don't become a lab tech in the FBI because you want to be rich. You do all of it because you want to be involved in these cases. And so it does draw what I think is the best of the best. And even lab techs that are private labs want to come over after they get that experience. So I think he is right that we do have some of the best of the best. Although I will tell you, what case was that? There was a case where the Secret Service had better equipment when it came to a digital analysis, not a lab, not actually a biological or DNA analysis. So anyway, that's what he says. He believes it. I believe it. The best private lab out there.
And we didn't get a chance to do that. So I understand everybody's frustrations on that.
I'm not frustrated with you. I'm frustrated that they, if I was a sheriff and the FBI was willing to help me and time is of the essence, I'd want all the help I can get. Okay, let me ask you about this.
Okay. So off of that, I want to go through now Nanos, a little bit of what Nanos said very early on in the case. Here we go.
About suspects. And I want to be very clear. At this time, we have not identified a suspect or a person of interest in this case.
Okay, here we go. Oh, goodness. Let me put it back up. Oh, don't do that. All right. I'm not sure what happened with that one. I really want this one up on the stage. I want you guys to hear some of his early thoughts.
This is a timeline that we have been able to develop with some of the things that we've got. Electronics that we've got. Thank you so long to get this to us, Sheriff. Well, because one thing, it's got to go out and be processed at different lab sites. And sometimes that stuff comes back to us. And like you, we have questions. And we say, wait a minute, what is this?
That. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I was on the wrong item. I was on.
Gladly answered those at that time. But it really is about getting our partners out there. To be fair, when we went to that scene the first night, Saturday night, it was just us. Since then, the FBI and others have asked, can we go and see it as well? And that's what you've been seeing. But it is a very important case to not just me and my team, but this entire community.
Okay, Freudian slip, likely, where he says, you know, only the locals and us were even out there Saturday night. So let's just understand that likely he's making a mistake when he says Saturday night, thinking it was Sunday night, but it was Sunday night. But even then, he says, hey, listen, our partners weren't there. So now when I see him saying the FBI was there, I mean, oh my gosh, he's frustrating. Did you guys hear that? I'm going to start again from the beginning.
Gladly answered those at that time. But it really is about getting our partners out there. To be fair, when we went to that scene the first night, Saturday night, it was just us. Since then, the FBI and others have asked, can we go and see it as well? And that's what you've been seeing. But it is a very...
Can we go and see it as well? Not can you be not please come help us with the case. That isn't what he says. Can we see the crime scene? That's what he's saying. He's not saying join us in the case. Okay.
Important case to not just me and my team, but this entire community, all of our law enforcement partners. Suspects. I know there's been a lot out there about suspects, and I want to be very clear. At this time, we have not identified a suspect or a person of interest in this case. We are working our best.
I want to say this too. And there was a question that came up. For those of you who don't know, he called an end to the searches on day two. I have that here. He said, we're not going to search anymore. Maybe it's on here and I should wait for it. I have so many of him. No more searching. None. They searched all night, he says. They've been searching. At first, I thought he just was going to give him a break. How do you not search when you're in the Sonoran Desert? How do you push away the Cajun Navy? How do you push away Madre Buscadoras? How do you say we are not backing any searches if individuals decide you can be on their property and search? Then, you know, that's up to them. After, of course, seeing the sheriff say no searches, it's confounding, but I'm doing a separate show on that. Okay, let's go on.
To do that, but to be clear, we have nobody of interest.
I also want to let everybody know, because I do get asked a lot about this, is about dogs. There were dogs out there, CBP, some of the best tracking dogs in the world. They were out there. They were out there early. In fact, they gave them a blue shirt, as I recall, of Nancy's. And after they got done, they just threw it on a bush. Everybody was asking me about that. I'm like, oh my God, that's Nancy's shirt. Highly unprofessional. But nevertheless, there were dogs out there searching, and the search went to no avail. But again, 2 years, you know.
Any suspects that you would consider a prime suspect, which is not there. We're not there yet. The timeline, I think we've got it on the board, do we not? This is a timeline that we have been able to develop with some of the things that we've had processed. Various pieces of electronics that we've gathered. And you look at some of this, and I know you're going to say, well, why did it take you so long to get this to us, Sheriff? Well, because one thing, it's got to go out and be processed at different lab sites. And sometimes that stuff comes back to us, and like you, we have questions. And we say, wait a minute, what is this about? What about this? Could it be that? And so it's sent back, or it's sent somewhere else. So, and that's happening with all of the things we see, that process, that review, and that questioning of, all right, what is it we're looking at? So I'll go over it with you. You can see it on the board there, but at about 5:32 p.m., these are approximate times. 5:32 p.m., Nancy travels to her local family's home for dinner and playing games with the family, and just visiting. At 9:48 p.m., which is very consistent to what we were told by the family, that Nancy was dropped off at home, and we know that because we have a garage door open at approximately, I can't stress that enough, at approximately 9.
All right, so he continues to go over that timeline, but the reason I wanted to put that up there, I just wanted y'all to see how he says the FBI wasn't involved. He said people, our partners, wanted to come see the crime scene and they allowed that. But again, nobody should be looking at that crime scene except crime scene investigators, the lead detective. Everything should have been roped off for nobody. That crime scene should have been preserved. And there should have been, it's basically a side area that you have people enter in and you know exactly what path other people, you can't have people milling all around. We know from Savannah Guthrie, everybody and their dog was in there. So, you know, you get one shot at a crime scene and that was fumbled, in my opinion. Let me touch on a couple other things. This is another interview by Nanos, which I think is important.
Absolutely. That's going to get us.
Wait a minute. Let me start at the beginning. This is one of his most
search for answers into Nancy Guthrie's disappearance continues. Over the last week, so many people still showing up and showing their support for Savannah.
I've watched the Today Show for many years, and you become family.
We're not going to stop praying until we get an answer, you know, and some closure.
Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos telling us they're still working to identify that masked man at Nancy's home.
Do you think that this suspect could strike again, whoever did this?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, criminal minds are criminal minds.
Well, he didn't disclose it. The sheriff says investigators do have a theory for a motive.
We believe we know why he did this, and we believe that it was targeted, but we're not 100% sure of that. And so it'd be silly to tell people, yeah, don't worry about it. You're not his target. No, you could be.
He says investigators are still actively working their leads, including that unknown DNA.
Is there still hope that this mixed DNA will be able to be identified?
Absolutely. That's going to get us to somebody, we hope.
Nanos also confirmed investigators have been looking into a potential internet issue or other electrical disruption the night of the abduction.
There was a timeline when things went offline, so we're looking into that. Why did that occur? We checked with our power companies. We checked with others in the neighborhood.
And that's beyond just the fact that the suspect took the camera off.
Correct.
As the investigation goes on, an incredible outpouring of love for the Guthrie family.
It says, Nancy, all of us are praying for you to come home now.
Tucson artist Donna Prius, who goes by the name Pinky, has been leaving these canvas paintings outside Nancy's home.
Something that
Nancy's home is connected. As for what he told us about knowing why the suspect did this, he says they've had a theory from day one. We did press him, but he just would not say what that is. The FBI, for their part, has not commented on any motive. Laura.
Okay, so really quick on that. Nanos is clear in another interview where he says it's the motive from day one, you know, which is kidnapping for ransom. That's according to him. As far as why is there an issue between Nanos and the FBI? Why? You know, that's what Hannity asked. That's why everybody's asking, why, if you have all these resources, what is it? And I'll tell you, it's a little bit more than you.
Who does that in today's world? Who does that? Am I upset at the FBI? Absolutely. They should. They get by with saying no comment. Who does that in today's world? Who does that? Yet they get by with that. And when this thing's all resolved and the case is all over, I challenge them. I challenge Mr. Black to stand up to that camera by himself and say, we have looked at this investigation and we have exonerated.
Oh, apologies.
We find this investigation to be total BS, because that's what it is.
Okay. I did a full session on this before, but basically there's been bad blood because of an investigation into Nanos, into malfeasance from a long time ago. And that blood, I would believe, still persists. If you look at the press conference that when the FBI does get involved, it's very interesting because you see Sheriff Nanos turn his back on everything, throw up his hands. He says, they're handling the ransom piece of it. In other words, tracking those six emails, which still nothing on those. And he's handling basically the investigation into the abduction aside from the ransom notes. And now again, the task force is off it. This is why this is important. This is, look, obviously a distraction, which was what I pointed out at the beginning. Anytime you have the heads of an investigation that are supposed to be working like this, and you had issues with even getting involved in the investigation, then you get involved, but you're butting heads, you have cracks. When you have cracks in leadership, in that joint leadership, when it starts to crack, the case cracks. What parts of the case are cracked? We've talked about it already. The crime scene investigation cracked. The DNA results getting done timely cracked. The porch guy video getting out timely cracked. I would totally add to this the canvassing of the neighbors early on. They've been canvassed so many times. I mean, it's just going to be a nightmare once Porch Guy is found. I'm telling you, it's going to be a nightmare. Because, if you're a defense attorney, you're just salivating at the cracks created. So I'm not doing a show to malign Sheriff Nanos. That's not the purpose of the show. The purpose of the show is to explain why, in all likelihood, we are approaching day 100 and we still don't have answers. And I can tell you, the guys behind the scene, they're still working hard. They're working on the backpack. They're working on the clothing. They're working on the holster. They're working on the gun. They're working on the surveillance video of vehicles that would have left that area during the time frame. They're working on the canvases. Did somebody see something? They are working on the Nest and Ring camera from those areas. They are working on the geofence at the choke points. That's nine, just off the top of my head as an investigator. And any day could be a break. I got to tell you, I gave also deference early on when Sheriff Nanos said, listen, I don't want Madres Buscadoras. I don't want Cajun Navy. We're not doing any more searches. We aren't, and they aren't, at least not with our backing, which you never want that. That's a hot mess. I literally gave deference to him and to law enforcement, because in my experience, when you stop that, wanting search is done, it's because you have the trail, you know, you're getting close, and you do not want to waste those resources fumbling around. If you know, as an example, they took her to Mexico as an example. You don't want, you know, later, imagine when they said everything comes out and you're like, oh my God, you knew on day two that they took her to Mexico? You've been following all that and you knew that, and you let all these people out in the Sonora Desert and people dehydrating and people just spinning their wheels that could have been on other cases that could be solved. That's really, that's what I've seen in the past. Doesn't appear to be the case here. Sadly, and this is another crack, is the searches. Sadly, it appears that much of this seems to be about ego. I really wanted to put up Nanos' statement, but I'm going to read it to you. So right after Kash Patel came out and said this, Nanos came out with a statement. It was a really strong statement. Nanos said this, so it came from the Pima County Sheriff's Department. It's in green. Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos is aware of FBI Director Kash Patel's recent interview and statement. And by the way, let me get the person who all of this is about up on stage instead of me. Sorry. Sheriff Nanos responded to the scene the night of the incident, providing immediate local leadership and oversight. Okay, he was there that night. We don't know when, but that's what their statement says here. A member of the FBI task force was also notified and present at the scene, working alongside our personnel. That isn't what he just said in the presser, but that's okay. The FBI was promptly notified by both our department and the Guthrie family. I believe they were notified. While the FBI director was not on scene, so he does a little jab there, right? He wasn't on scene. Coordination with the Bureau began without delay. So you see the generality. 4 days may not be a delay in Sheriff Nanos's view. May not be. Decisions regarding evidence processing were made on scene based on operational needs. Oh my God, people, does everybody see the word salad here, or is this just me? I've already said it before that, I mean, if you haven't watched, if you want just to laugh, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, it's actually based on a true story. I love true stories, but I'm going to digress a little bit. But there is the sheriff in that show, it's played by Dennehy. And his whole thing is, I just want to do the sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't. In other words, he never gives a straight answer. Now, Sheriff Nanos has given some pretty precise answers, but the problem is the sidestepping. He can give his variation of answers is very interesting. But again, right here, this means nothing to me. This is word salad. Decisions regarding evidence processing were made on scene based on operational needs. What does that mean? The operational need was for the DNA evidence to go to the best lab in the country. Isn't that the operational need? The laboratory utilized by the Pima County Sheriff's Department and the FBI laboratory in Quantico have worked in close partnership from the outset and continue to collaborate in the analysis of evidence. All right. So again, it was sent to Pima County. Pima County says, Sheriff Nanos says that lab was actually doing this pro bono. That was interesting when he said that. He said, they're not even charging us. Because a lot of people said, you know, why are you paying a lab when Quantico is free? You know, paid for by the taxpayers. Just send it there. And he said, no, 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 this lab is doing it for free. So it kind of took out that argument. But the big problem here is, as the FBI well said in the statement early, as soon as it was transferred, we've always had our expertise. And apparently that lab doesn't, because that lab said, we got to send this to Quantico. And that is a huge crack. Finally, he says, we remain committed to a thorough, coordinated, and fact-based investigation and will continue working closely with our federal partners as the process moves forward. Well, that's good. You know, I don't know. There were just the specifics that Kash Patel said, I think, are very important. Day four, ready to take that evidence that day, that minute. The Ring camera, losing days, losing for everything is just lost 4 days. But as everybody knows, Kash Patel said it, but I can tell you it from an investigator, the first 48, I would say the first 24 are critical. I mean, the most critical, but certainly 48, it's true. You just have such a small window before people get out of the area. The Ring camera gets written over more over that 4 or 5 days. They didn't even get it till day 10, but I believe they would have started that process on day 4 or 5. What was written over on day 1, 2, 3, and 4? You know, in the Google process. Well, that's where we're at. That's just where we're at. It's a distraction. There's cracks. We know why the cracks are now. Karen Cardwell asks, why hasn't the timeline been refined any? And I usually put up the timeline. The timeline is the timeline from the point that they know exactly when the camera was snagged. They know exactly when her pacemaker data disconnected from her media. They know exactly when the person was seen at 2:12 a.m. outside of the house. That will never change. I think, though, probably, Karen, what you're trying to ask, or what, to be clear, is why isn't there more? Because they have more, which is such a great point, Karen. You're exactly right. We're not getting it. The FBI isn't releasing enhanced pictures of Porch Guy. They are not releasing any more updated timeline. And Sheriff Nanos is falling in line with what the FBI wants now. The FBI doesn't like to release anything, but I say release information that the public can help you with. And if you have enhanced imagery, if you have imagery that you've done where you believe you can see more closely other distinguishing features, release it. Do flyers everywhere in the Tucson area for sure. His Porch Guy should be seen everywhere. Flood the areas that you think are important. You thought billboards were important in Houston and in California, places in Arizona, one in Albuquerque. If you think those are important, FBI, and I know that was early on, put Porch Guy's face on them. Use the public. The public wants to help. Use the public. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here again today. I appreciate each and every one of you so much. We will stay on it. Someone knows Porch Guy. I can't believe I haven't showed him today. Let me get him up here. The skulking Porch Guy, who knew exactly where that camera was and kept his head down. Porching skulky guy who had gloves on that were way too big, who had a backpack from Walmart, who had a HT in his pocket, who miscalibrated how hard it would get that Ring camera off, and I believe needed the friction. I don't think he's just waving this, because we can see how there is embedded greenery on the attachment to where the Nest camera was. That took force. And I think he used that to grab it off, because he hadn't practiced removing a Nest camera before, which is a mistake. Everyone, you guys are great. I appreciate you guys so much for being here. Tomorrow, we are going to be at 8 o'clock in the morning, early, 8 o'clock Eastern. I know that's early, everyone. Hope you can make it. Hope you can join us. Hope it's not too early for all y'all. Thank you. Till next time, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and all the missing.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.